sending this message from the year 2038 to tell you one thing. La Liga was right. La Liga was right.
Want a better future for the planet? Then listen up. This is the Green Desk with Lily Peacock, thanks to the Monaco Beautification Charitable Trust.
I now have Amanda Black, a lecturer in bioprotection from Lincoln University, with me on the phone to chat about the myrtle rust situation happening in Northland at the moment. So tell me, Amanda, first of all, what exactly is myrtle rust?
So myrtle rust is a fungus, and it has origins in sort of subtropical South America, and it comes from the guava and feijoa family there. And you see it on the plants. It looks actually like a rust, and it has yellow pustules. And what it does is it distorts the leaf, so the plant can't really function. And then eventually the plant just dies from secondary infection.
And so the current situation in Kerikeri, how did that happen in the first place?
Most likely it came on the wind via a lot of these cyclone events we've been having. I mean, it was a foregone conclusion that it would turn up eventually. We get probably 1 to 2 windborne rust funguses coming to New Zealand every 2 years since the 50s, since they've been monitored. And so really, I mean, it's in Australia and New Caledonia. It was really a matter of time.
And so where are we at now with the situation in Kerikeri?
Identification. I suspect there's a big diagnosis team going around from MPI and DOC, and they'll be looking first of all at the nurseries, I think, because it's easiest. And then there'll be discussions between Tangata Whenua, DOC and MPI about access to some of the forest up there and private land as well, so they can go and look for those myrtle plants. So that's Pūtikawa, Rata, Ramarama, Manuka and Kānuka. And they'll just be looking, it'll be the surveillance side of things, and if they see something, then they'll take it back to the labs and carry out diagnosis on it to determine if it's myrtle rust or not. So there'll be a lot of discussions about planning and areas to start searching.
But as far as we know, it's just sort of contained within Kerikeri.
Possibly. That's all you can say for now, because they've only had 2 confirmed cases of it in Kerikeri. It's highly likely it's probably elsewhere. It's just no one's looked for it yet. Well, they don't know what to look for. And rusts do look quite similar.
And so if it is elsewhere, what are the sort of potential impacts of that? Will it be really quite hard to contain it further?
Yeah, once an airborne fungus is in the country, it's actually really hard to contain it. So, I mean, in Australia, it's a huge problem, and they've got hygiene protocols, and it really is containment and hygiene, and you just hope that it is confined to a small area that you can keep an eye on it.
And so if the outbreak is quite big, what are the potential impacts this could have on the environment in New Zealand?
Well, I mean, you've got your conservation issues with it. Yeah, I mean, a lot of our myrtle family are already threatened. Like the Bartlett's rose up in Northland, I think the individual's number in the tens, probably less than 30, and that's, you know, something like that is devastating. But seed banking's been happening there for a while, so there's some sort of long-term protection against the complete eradication of that species. So for conservation, it's terrible, because our plants are already under threat from possums and deforestation, other things. For economics, you're looking at the Manuka and the Kānuka industry, as well as the short-term feijoa industry. And, you know, Manuka it's not the favourite food of bees, and they have such a short flowering season. So anything that potentially can harm the productivity of that will have a devastating effect on, you know, the kind of returns we can get from Manuka honey.
And from what I understand as well, there are animals that depend on these particular plants that are being affected or potentially affected by myrtle rust that then may indirectly be impacted by if there was a larger outbreak. Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, there's all the nectar feeders, the birds. Some of them are quite fussy, and others, not really a bird person, probably not the best person to ask about this, but others are quite specific about their diet. And so, you know, a lot from that, you'll get you'll certainly get impact down the food chain in terms of like bird population and breeding.
And so you mentioned a little bit about what MPI is doing to contain this. Does it sort of seem like they've got the situation under control? Or could they be doing more to do this?
They're probably doing the best that they can. It's actually, logistically, it's kind of coordinating like you would for a disaster response. You've got to have an area of containment and all of a sudden you've got to free up a lab for diagnosis. And so hopefully the MPI and DOC and Tangata Whenua up in Northland are coordinating in a timely fashion so that we can identify the areas that are infected and set about going through quarantine and quarantining the areas to prevent any further spread.
And so do you know if there's much work being done to stop future outbreaks of similar fungal infections?
In New Zealand?
Yes.
Wouldn't, no. It's actually, I mean, it's really, really hard to, the only preemptive stuff you can do is kind of overseas. We can't research diseases that aren't here. It's not allowed. And so a lot of the times we have to rely on collaborations with our partners overseas. And we send over plant or germplasm material. And so we test to see if these are resistant or they're going to be infected from these fungal pathogens that come over on the trade ones usually, and if it looks like, you know, there's a particular plant species that's going to be infected, we can set it in place like long-term management such as seed banking and start to screen for resistant strains. Particularly, I mean, it's easier to do when you're looking at economic plants like Manuka, but it's harder in the conservation space because there's typically less money for that.
Right, that's really interesting that those sort of international partnerships are kind of crucial to be able to fight these things.
Yeah, they're absolutely critical because it's South Africa and Australia and Brazil actually where a lot of this work is done because Brazil is where it actually originates from. And so they've got all the types of myrtle fungus that they would have there and you're able to test against all the strains.
Right, so you can kind of learn from the work that they're doing and then try to apply it to our sort of context.
Yeah, we can send over plant material and they can test for resistance or effects as well, and they can grow it in their labs and we can get an idea of the kind of impacts it would have once it gets here.
That was the Green Desk, thanks to the Manukau Beautification Charitable Trust.